O Lord our God, we come before you humbled by your mercy, thankful for your love for us, and grateful for your presence among us, for all your many gifts, and for walking with us through even the hardest times of our lives. Lord, as we take this moment now to gather around your word, to learn from it and be changed by it, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each of us in the moments that follow, that we might each hear a word from you and might be drawn closer into your presence, knowing that you know us and love us more than we could even imagine. Bless us as we reflect on this word from the first letter of John. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 5. We are continuing through our study of 1 John together. And today we're just reading five verses. 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Easy to remember, right? 1 John 5, starting in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Be an overcomer, we must never yield. When the foe we meet on the battlefield, we are blood-bought children of the royal host, and must falter not, nor desert our post. Overcome, overcome. I started too high, oh boy. In Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight, and the victor's crown you shall wear at last. I'll start lower later. What does it mean to overcome the world? What does it mean to overcome the world? That's what the letter that John wrote said our faith would help us to do. For some, overcoming the world means a life of health and prosperity, riches beyond measure. You know, my phrase is name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, right? For some, overcoming the world means leaving the world of non-prosperity behind and achieving something fantastic. For some, it means that we can pray all of our troubles away, that we will never have any problems anymore, that all of our issues will be resolved and sanctified and made holy because we commit everything over to God and there will be no more trouble. We will be perfectly isolated in Jesus. Maybe it means living free from the threat of sin. Once we have been saved and sanctified in the Lord, we don't have to worry about sin anymore. Thank God for that. Now that's over, we can go on to holy living. The word to overcome, you know I love languages. You know I love Greek. The Greek word for overcome is a really interesting word. It carries connotations of struggle, of conflict, of victory. It's translated in different parts of speech as conquering, the conqueror. Overcoming has these kinds of almost military connotations. The word is the root to our name Nicholas. If you know anybody named Nicholas, that's, the Greek is Nikolaos, which means Niko is the conquering word, overcoming. And Laos means people. Conquering of the people. The people conquer, the victorious people. If you know anybody named Nick or Nikki or something like that, that's where the name comes from. conquering of the people, the victory of the people. Where do we see this overcoming the world, the people being victorious? Where do we see this? Where do we see it in real life? I don't think it's in health and prosperity, riches beyond measure, because, well, here we are. Some of us are sick and some of us are not incredibly wealthy. Anybody say amen to that? Yeah. I thought I might get something there. We still have troubles that come, even when we pray and commit everything to the Lord. We even still struggle with sin sometimes. If you don't think you do, think again. All of us are tempted to sin. All of us struggle with sin. The presence of Christ in our lives does not guarantee that we will never sin again. So if we're supposed to overcome the world, how are we supposed to do that? And what will it look like? Be an overcomer. He who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. In the sorest conflict you shall win the day. Face the legions dark till they flee away. Never yield a step in the hottest fight. God will send you help from the realms of light. In Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight, and the victor's crown you shall wear at last. Our lives are full of difficulties, even on a day that we celebrate like Mother's Day. This is supposed to be a happy day. We're supposed to remember things and feel warm and fuzzy inside, and we do. But even our relationships with our mothers sometimes cause us problems. Sometimes we have checkered pasts with our mothers. Can anybody say amen to that? I thought you might not say that as loudly. No relationships are perfect, so it's fitting that we should read this passage from 1 John 5 today on Mother's Day. You see, today, Mother's Day is a day when we remember our mothers, when we think about those who are mothers, all this motherly stuff, people who have given birth and we have been born of our mothers. The mother's love is supposed to be the highest ideal. It doesn't always work that way, but it's supposed to be the most perfect example of what love from one person to another could be. We look to mothers for that. And in the best situations, in the best relationships that we have with our mothers, we strive to learn from them and follow them and become more like them. In the same way, but really in a completely different way, we who believe in God have been born of Him. That's the language John uses. Those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, have been born of God. Greater love has no man than this, Jeremy read for us a few minutes ago, than to lay down his life for his friends. This is what Jesus did for us. We have been born of God, so we learn from our Father's example, the one who has born us. We love God. We strive to learn how to carry out His commands. We strive to learn how to carry our crosses as Jesus did. And these commands of God, John says, do not weigh us down. They are not burdensome. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. For some, the commands of God are heavy because they have not yet realized what following Christ is about. It becomes easy when Christ lives in you. It becomes more natural because we receive a new nature. We live differently because of the Spirit of God living in us. Our lives are transformed, and this kind of transformation is countercultural. It's not the way our world works. The way our world is oriented is, I get to determine how my life is lived. It's not that my life is transformed by anybody outside myself. I get to determine how I live, what I decide is right, what I choose is good, and I'll stay away from the things that I choose are not good. I have a few different ideas to prompt your thinking along these lines. I'm not going to spend much time on any of them because I don't want to get in trouble with any of you. No, but some of them are very serious issues. For instance, Republican, Democrat. Not going to spend much time on it, don't worry. You have your opinion about it, and you're right. Somebody who disagrees from you is also right. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to convince you the other way. If anything in our nation's self-talk over the past several years, if we've learned anything from how our nation talks to itself and among itself, it's that we believe what we believe, and the other person believes differently, and they have to come and join me. If you see what's happening, I'm not going to talk about this long. If you see what's happening in Congress these days, nothing's getting done, we say, because the people on the one side can't agree with the people on the other side. It's just a metaphor for how we live. Congress is not any worse off than we are. We're people too. We believe what we believe, and nothing's going to change it. You know what I mean? Here's another one I'm not going to spend much time on. Promise. If you've been paying any attention to the news this week, the one biggest moral issue that has got everybody thinking is the issue of gay marriage, because of our vice president's and then our president's comments on the topic. We have ideas about that issue, and I'm willing to guess that even in this room we have differing ideas. We might have people who believe differently about that particular issue. But here's the deal. We believe what we believe, and nobody's going to change that. Half of our states allow... Well, no, let me say it the right way. Half of our states ban gay marriage. Less than half, but some of them allow for it. That there it is. We believe what we believe, and nobody's going to change us. That's the way our culture works. Do you fund the military first, or do you fund social programs first? Do you raise taxes, or do you cut spending? Do you legalize marijuana, or do you keep it illegal except for medical purposes? Oh, we've allowed that now, right? Do you use contraception, or don't you? Do you allow for abortion, or don't you? There are many difficult moral and ethical and social questions that we have to face as people. How in the world do we overcome the world and the world's way of living, which is, in a word, self-centered? Be an overcomer, you are heaven's heir, and a crown of life you may ever wear. So with courage press the battle to the gates, till you gain the prize which in heaven waits. Never yield a step in the hardest fight. God will send you help from the realms of light. In Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight, and the victor's crown you shall wear at last. Our faith in Jesus Christ gives us victory over the world. This is the core message of the verses that we've read from 1 John 5. It's not that our problems disappear, or even that our choices become easy. It's that our approach to handling the stuff of life becomes more Christ-centered and less me-centered. The Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia an astounding letter. We call it Galatians. And I'd like to read for you a few verses from Galatians 5 that have to do with our orientation, how we approach problems in the world. Paul writes these words: "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I tell you, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Oh, if we could actually live like that. This has more to do with God shaping us into the image of Jesus Christ than us shaping the world into our desired image. If you ask me what my political opinions are, you're welcome to do that, by the way. I won't tell you all of them from here, because it's not appropriate. But if you ask me what my political opinions are, a lot of the time I will answer along those lines. The world is going to do what the world's going to do. What matters is that our lives are transformed. It has more to do with our lives being changed to become more like Christ than us changing the world to become more like us. This is the true Nicolaos, the Nikolaos, the victory of the people, the conquering of the people. When the people of God are so transformed by the power of God that they become more like the Son of God. We do not win the victory over the world. That language is almost in this passage from 1 John. It doesn't say we win the victory over the world. It says our faith is the means which gives us victory. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith is a gift from God. It's nothing that we do on our own. Our Lord enables us to become more like Him so that we can overcome the world and its way of living. Be an overcomer, forward boldly go. You are strong enough if you trust God so. Strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace and to overcome every foe you face. Never yield a step in the hardest fight. God will send you help from the realms of light. In Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight. And the victor's crown you shall wear at last. That song was written by a Church of God leader from the first generation of Church of God leaders. His name is Charles W. Naylor. He lived from 1874 until 1950. He was a songwriter. He wrote many songs that are in our hymnal. And he joined the Gospel Trumpet Company very early in its existence. That was the beginning of the Church of God movement. He lived a difficult life. He was injured at a couple of different points in his life. Once when a tent post fell on him. Once when he was in an automobile accident. And he lived the later part of his life nearly completely as an invalid. He lived a hard life. And his approach to Christian living, especially in those later years, was to say that pain is God's chisel with which He carves His image in the heart. Pain is God's chisel with which He carves His image in the heart. It transformed Charles Naylor's life. His way of thinking, his way of dealing with his own issues. In the early days of the Church of God, there was a very strong push for divine healing. It's one of our core foundational values that God heals, that all healing comes from God. And here is Charles Naylor, bedridden, multiple injuries, and God is not busy healing him miraculously like that. It transformed his way of thinking to begin to accept things like medical science, which for a time was not very popular in Church of God circles. Thankfully, now that my appendix has gone bad on me, thankfully we're more accepting of medical issues, medical treatments and such like that. Charles Naylor saw this transformation. His heart was changed to become more like Christ's, to accept what the world can do, but to put his faith completely in the Lord. How do we overcome the world? How do we wear the victor's crown at the last? How do we know that we are blood-bought children of the royal host? How do we never yield a step in the hottest fight? We do it one step at a time. We do it by remembering that we are born of God, that we are God's children, by believing in Jesus as the Son of God and as the Messiah. That's all it takes. And then we begin the process of answering those difficult questions. How do we live? How do we make moral and ethical decisions? Our lives are transformed, and then we interact with the world. It is not that we decide what is right and force the world to become more like us. Let us become more like Christ, who showed us the perfect example of what love truly is. Greater love has no one than this. Let us lay down our lives for our friends. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks this day for giving us the gift of faith, for giving us the gift of your Son, for giving us the gift of new life and a new identity in you. Make us more into your image. Carve your image on our hearts, no matter what it costs us, so that we might overcome the world by becoming more like you. Walk with us through our everyday lives. Help us as we struggle with temptation to sin and as we make difficult choices in our everyday lives. Help us never to forget that what we believe about you must influence how we live every day. Help us to win the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has already won the victory by conquering sin and death in his resurrection. In his holy and precious and ever-living name, we pray these things. Amen.